Chicago has been a focus of attention because of the actions and questions raised by police shootings, how they're legally addressed, and how transparent the city government is regarding how they're dealt with. One of the players in this whole scene, Cook County Prosecutor Anita Alvarez, will be in the spotlight this coming week as she faces a primary challenge by two opponents. This, of course, by the way, is not an issue limited to Chicago. For example, Newark, New Jersey, is also next week preparing to vote on whether to institute a civilian complaint review board. My next guest is a journalist who has detailed the legal actions taken and not taken by Alvarez, along with their fallout, which impacted victims in the city. She is a managing editor for the Chicago Reporter, also contributor to The Nation, Deborah Shelton. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
And two places you can find Deborah's work, the obvious, the ChicagoReporter.com. And as I said, she is a contributor to The Nation. That is TheNation.com. So give us some background. I mentioned that Anita Alvarez is Cook County Prosecutor. What are her duties, and how has her job performance been shown itself to be?
Okay. Well, first, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office is a huge office, and many people don't realize that it not only prosecutes civil and criminal cases, but it also handles child support payments, and it staffs the courts and runs victim assistance programs and, you know, a whole range of roles. It's a huge office. The Cook County State's Attorney's Office employs about 1,500 people and 900 attorneys. So it's a huge office, the second largest in the nation. And Anita Alvarez has actually been under fire for some time now for the way she's handled certain cases, especially police misconduct cases. But certainly in the last 6 months or so, she has really come under fire for her handling of a couple very high-profile police shootings. Normally, the Cook County State's Attorney's race is not the race that captures a lot of attention in an election. Most people are looking at the mayor and other high-profile races, certainly in 2016, the presidential race. But for the first time since 1972, voters are looking very closely at the Cook County State's Attorney's race, because this issue of officer-involved shootings is, as you said, a national issue, but some people have said that Chicago is the epicenter for this issue.
And we've seen, obviously, the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, maybe some say late to the party, but taking action with the dismissal of the police chief. And I take it he has not lent any support to Alvarez. It seems to be like she's sort of on a boat cast adrift at this point versus when she first ran for this post.
Exactly. She's lost a lot of support from the Democratic Party. She, in the past, has had the support of the county Democratic organization. She did not get it. One of her challengers got support, Kim Fox. And the mayor has not supported her, and some other very big politicians here in our state are not endorsing her this time around. But it's very difficult to tell with this election exactly where she stands. Activists and others have been launching protests for months now against Anita Alvarez and our mayor, Rahm Emanuel. But Alvarez did poll very well about a month ago in an early poll. She actually was leading the other candidates by a slight margin. So it's very difficult to tell. This election is going to hinge on whether activists are able to mobilize people to come to the polls. It's one thing to be angry about some of these cases, and it's another thing to go and vote. I did hear some early numbers that early voter numbers were up high, higher than they expected, but it's a matter of seeing whether these numbers are going to carry through to next Tuesday's election.
Deborah Shelton, managing editor for the Chicago Reporter, contributor to The Nation, TheNation.com, ChicagoReporter.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We're talking about the state of affairs regarding cops shooting in Chicago. And let's go back to the Erica Boyd incident. Shooter was off-duty police detective Dante Servin. And if I recall the case correctly, basically it's Alvarez showed up unprepared or unwilling to fully prosecute. It's almost like, I guess maybe making a boxing analogy, some are accusing her of throwing the fight, in a manner of speaking.
Exactly. You know, there are lawyers and others who believe that she intentionally botched the case against Dante Cervin, an off-duty police officer who shot into a crowd of people in the park and struck Rakia Boyd in the head, a 22-year-old African-American woman who was not breaking the law. She was with a group of friends in the park, and apparently Officer Cervin or Detective Cervin was angry because he thought they were making too much noise. And he shot over his shoulder into the crowd and struck this young woman. She waited, Anita Alvarez waited 2 years to charge Detective Cervin. And when the case went to court, the judge said that he was forced to throw it out because he had been mischarged. And some critics say that they believe that Ms. Alvarez intentionally botched this case. She denies that. She said that she, with the charges she felt that she could press and get a conviction for, and she, you know, very vigorously denies that she intentionally botched the case. But it raises a lot of questions because, for example, in the Rakia Boyd case, she was very quick to charge one of the other victims in the shooting. There were two people shot, Ms. Boyd fatally, and another man, who a friend of hers. And she immediately charged the other victim with aggravated assault because Detective Cervin claimed he saw a gun. There was no gun that was ever recovered, and the charges eventually were dropped against the victim. But people compare that and say she was much more aggressive in going after the victim. So that's been kind of a theme in the criticism against her, that she often goes against victims and she protects police officers. That's the view.
And it seems like when she does indict police officers, instead of measuring that time with a watch or a day planner, you need a multi-year calendar.
Yeah, you know, these police officers, you know, unfortunately, what we've seen in our reporting here at the Chicago Reporter is that often these officers have a history of other shooting incidences. There was a case that got national attention, Laquan McDonald, a 17-year-old shot 16 times by a police officer. And this is another case she's been widely criticized for because she waited to charge the officer 13 months later, and only when a judge ordered the release of a video that was going to show the shooting. And the video contrasted sharply against what the official police reports were about what happened. That in fact, the victim did not lunge at officers with a knife. He did not continue to advance at them after he was shot. He was veering away from them, and he was shot 16 times. And that particular police officer has a history of disciplinary issues and misconduct. So, you know, this raises a lot of questions. Also, the other officers on the scene, there were at least five of them on the scene, all submitted reports claiming that Laquan McDonald had lunged at this officer. And clearly, when you see the video, that was not the case. And none of these officers have been charged with anything. So there's quite a bit of anger about that. Why are officers being allowed to get away with, an attempted cover-up?
Having our time with Deborah Shelton, managing editor for the Chicago Reporter, chicagoreporter.com, and contributor to The Nation, which is at thenation.com, here on Issues and Ideas. And to be fair, too, I mean, I don't know if most of us could deal with the situation. Certainly hindsight is, you know, we all know that slogan, too. But at the spur of the moment and judgment calls such as they have to be in those situations, and no matter what the training is, a cop is still a human before they're any sort of RoboCop type of machine. Does this put a focus on why specific better training has to be instituted or increased for officers who are going to be assigned to any quote-unquote high-crime areas so that, yes, there's going to be someone out there who's going to do something stupid, but you have to be you have to speed up your observation before your reaction?
Well, this raises a lot of issues about what's going on with these officers, and we have to be clear about one thing. There are very few officers who are doing this sort of thing. You know, when we look at the numbers of which officers are being sued, who are losing in lawsuits, so settlements are being made, it's a very small percentage of officers. Most of them are doing a good job in a very difficult situation. So I don't think anyone is really accusing all officers of this kind of behavior, but certainly when it does happen, and when a Rekia Boyd case is a very sad, tragic case. You know, this is an innocent woman. She was only 22 years old, and she was shot to death. So when these things happen, there is a expectation that something will be done about it. And there is a long history within the African-American community of people being victimized by the police. This isn't something that happened recently. It goes back a long way. And I think that history is really kind of culminating in a lot of anger and an expectation that the state's attorney will at least take a hard look at these cases, will investigate them, will be transparent about what decisions are being made, and also will be accountable to the public for investigating these cases.
When tragedy strikes, you have pretty much, by and large, two options. You turn your head away from it to avoid it, or you study it and learn from it, and hopefully the latter will be the situation in Chicago and elsewhere, because whatever the outcome is for the election this year, if Ms. Alvarez is defeated, that could be a wake-up call for others. We certainly have heard of questions in California of legal misconduct and many other places, and I alluded to Newark and the review board that is also going to be decided upon this coming week, and maybe better situations can be created and tragedies can be avoided as we move forward from all this. Learn more about this issue and to read more of Deborah's work, you can find it at chicagoreporter.com. She is also a contributor to The Nation. Managing editor for The Chicago Reporter, Deborah Shelton, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.